John chapter 11, I'm going to share something that the Lord gave me in my devotions some time ago, a week or so ago, and I want to just give it to you, if the Lord pressed my heart to deal with it tonight. I don't really know exactly how to title the message, title the thought that the Lord's had me to share with you. I'm going to be dealing with darkness tonight. Darkness, or the night. And as I was reading down through chapter 11, I come down to where that Jesus was going to make His journey back to Judah in verse 7 to minister and to raise Lazarus from the dead. And He told His disciples, "Let us go to Judah again." And His disciples say unto Him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Have you ever noticed? I didn't notice this until just a little bit ago. I was just kind of looking at that verse sitting over there while Brother Silas is exhorting us. And I thought, they're guilty of something that I think I'm guilty of sometimes. Instead of the Lord taking care of me, I think I'm sometimes having to take care of Him. He don't need my taking care of Him, but sometimes I do try to help Him out. And sometimes I think I know more than He does, and I know you don't. I can see it table looking. But here Jesus said to them, said, "We're going to Judea." And they began to do like Peter, you know, when Jesus told Peter, said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die." And Peter said, "Oh, that's what you think. Be it far from thee, Lord. That ain't going to happen." You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get in charge. But that's what happened right here. He told him, said, "We're going to Judea." And His disciples said to Him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee," as if He forgot about that, as if He didn't know that. "And goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, verse 9, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night," and I believe there's a direct contrast to the walking in the day in verse 9, to the walking in the night in verse 10. "He stumbleth because there's no light in him." And then he makes his way toward where Lazarus was at Bethany. But I'm interested in that word that stuck out to me that is used twice, one in verse 9 and one in verse 10, is the word "stumbleth." I just began to, or the Lord had me thinking, you know, about what that would imply. What does that look like, the stumbling? Well, I thought I would preach the whole message just on that stumbling and some things about that the Lord gave me as I just meditated on it. But the Lord began to give me some other things about that practices, things that goes on in the dark, not just stumbling. And we'll look at that one in a little bit. But there's other things that happens if we choose to walk in darkness. And I do want to say, as God's people, we can walk in darkness. It's not the will of God. When you walk after the flesh, you're walking in darkness. When you're walking in disobedience to God's Word, you are walking in darkness. Because the Bible said in 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That walking in the light is walking in obedience to God's Word. We know that God's Word is light. Psalms 119, 105, "Thy Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet." And it goes on to say that in that same chapter, that the very entrance of Thy Word giveth light. So we know that the Word of God is light. Then we know Jesus is light. He said, "I am the light of the world." Then we know the Holy Spirit is light. We know that God is light. 1 John chapter 1, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen? And he talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we'll be at in just a little bit, how that you and I that are saved, we are children of the light. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 5 that we are the light of the world. We are. Jesus speaking said, ye are the light of the world, God's people. And if it's dark today in this world, it's because of a lack of light. And that is, God's people are failing to be what God intends for us to be. Amen. And so I don't know whether to title it Dodging the Dark. I don't know whether to title it Scared of the Dark. And I think we ought to be scared of the dark. Amen. I think we ought to be terrified of darkness in our life. Amen. And I'm not talking about the physical darkness, you know. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. I think we ought to be scared of the dark. But I want to just basically point out some actions in the dark, or dark actions, things that if you'd make a choice and I make a choice to walk in darkness, these things are very possible. These things are very likely to happen in your life. And so I want to begin, we'll just start here in John 11, and I want to deal with this first one. And this is the stumbling. And I call this the unintentional action. There's going to be some actions that happens in the dark that I want to point out tonight. The first one is stumbling. Stumbling is not intentional. Stumbling is unintentional. Nobody plans to trip. Nobody plans to stumble. That's unintentional. And I'm going to tell you, friend, that if you choose or I choose to walk in disobedience of God's Word, or walk contrary to our example, the Lord Jesus, and choose to think and choose to do and be and go at places that is unbecoming of a Christian, there's going to be some unintentional things that's going to happen in your life. And you will not realize that there was something to trip over until you are in already the stumbling motion. Amen. The unintentional act. And I want to bog in just a little bit, if I could, on this one. The others we may not, but I want to bog in just a little bit on this unintentional act. And let me say this, if you're taking notes, there are some things that you can't do in the dark. There are some things in the Bible that you cannot do in the dark. And the one is, in John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. So we find that according to Jesus, you can't work in the dark. If a person chooses to walk in darkness as a believer, I'm preaching that to believers, believers are children of the light. We are of the day. We are not children of the night. We are not children of the darkness. God's people have been made different. Amen. We've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of His dear Son. But Jesus makes it clear you can't work. You're not going to accomplish any kind of service for the Lord if you're choosing to walk in darkness. And by the way, to walk in darkness is a choice. Nobody going to make you. Nobody going to force you. It'll be a choice that you make. So we find in John 9, 4, you can't work in the dark. And then in our text, John 11, I believe it makes it clear that you can't walk in the dark. There's going to be things that you can't see. You'll trip over and you'll stumble in the dark. And so I believe you'll find that it'd be difficult to walk the paths of righteousness if you're choosing to walk in disobedience and darkness with the Lord. So in John 11 and also John 8 and 12 tells us that we can't walk in the darkness. John 8, 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So Jesus is making it clear you can't work in the dark and you can't walk in the dark, but then also you can't watch in the dark. I mean, that's very simple. I believe common sense will help right there. You can't see in the dark. I believe that's why you're stumbling. It's because of a lack of perception, a lack of vision. Boy, if there's ever a problem of our churches today is people operating with a lack of perception and a lack of sensitivity, and a lack of vision. God's Word says in the book of Proverbs that where there is no vision, the people perish. So there is the fact that you can't watch. You can't see things when you're in darkness. You can't see things in the Bible to get excited about. You can't see things in a church service that God would intend to feed you with and bless you with, because what comes with darkness is a lack of vision and a lack of being able to perceive and a lack of being able to see. Then I want to mention this one. You can't witness in the dark. Well, the Lord spoke to my heart about that one. You can't witness in the dark. And what do you mean by that? Darkness takes away identity. Everybody's the same in darkness. That's why the devil wants God's people to hang around darkness and pursue darkness and make dark choices, is because it removes your identity. And without your identity, you have no testimony. Without your identity, you have no recognition, no witness. Amen and amen. That's right. Darkness is the perfect atmosphere to blend. The devil wants God's people to be like everybody else instead of being distinct and being different and being separate. He wants us to blend with other people. Amen. And so you can't witness in the dark. Darkness takes away identity. Everything in darkness looks the same. And the devil wants that. Why? To hinder your witness. Amen. That's the reason Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah had no effective testimony, even with his own children and son-in-laws, was because of his lifestyle. And they laughed at him when he was telling them of the upcoming judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. They laughed at him because his preaching had no punch and no power because of his practice. Amen. So, we can't witness in the dark. Darkness is the atmosphere of compromise. But let me give you this right here. This is good. Lord, give this to me today even. Talking about your identity. And by the way, can I state this? And I know I preach on separation, at least hit it here and there. Very seldom ever just spend a whole message on it, because most people can't handle it. But the truth is, your separation is for your identification. Your separation is to identify you to be children of light. Your separation, my friend, puts you there to where, listen, don't misunderstand, where you can be seen. Amen. Now watch this right here. Here's what the Lord gave me today. Carnality, in carnality, you are seen. Your flesh is seen. Your human nature is seen. Your Adamic depraved appetites are seen. Your fallen flesh, amen, is seen when you are living and choosing the carnal direction. Well, this is good, I'm telling you. Lord, give it to me. So in carnality, you are seen and Jesus is hid. Jesus will never be revealed through a carnal life. I'm talking about you can't witness in the dark. Jesus will never be revealed to the eyes of others when you are choosing to live a carnal life, because carnality brings you to the front and allows you to be observed and seen as a human being, while Jesus is pushed to the back and not seen. Spirituality is the opposite of carnality. Spirituality does right the opposite. Spirituality hides you and brings Jesus to the front. Amen. So you see there just a little bit of why the devil loves for God's people to be carnal, fleshly, worldly. The devil don't mind for God's people to be like that, because in doing so, you're allowing you to be seen. And by the way, it's sad, but a lot of people, that's the one they're wanting seen. Amen? I mean, really, you can tell by the basis behind pride is that. The basis behind selfishness is that. I want to be seen. It's about me. I'm number one. I'm the important one. Isn't it right? I mean, carnality hides Christ and reveals you. Spirituality hides you and reveals Christ. And as long as people see you, they'll nobody ever be saved. But if they see Christ in you, then you have an effective witness. So it does matter how you live. Now, amen, listen to me. I believe, and I preach it as strong as anybody, that God's people ought to live right. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. I believe the Bible over and over verifies that your practice, or to say amen to your profession. I believe the Bible teaches that. And I mean this part of the country, filled with churches, is plagued with people that don't believe that. They think that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. They have no desire for the things of God. Living in sin. No heart for God. Something's wrong with that. But carnality hides Christ. I believe that was what was implied behind the woman in 1 Peter. Was it 1 Peter or 2 Peter that had the lost husband? And Peter was giving her advice on how to win that lost husband of the Lord. And he proceeded to deal with that woman by to pay attention to her attire. I'm talking about as a wife. Pay attention to your attire and make sure that it's not real flashy, to the point of attracting even your husband's attention to your flesh. Because it goes on to say that when that happens, your lost husband will not see, and this is what the Bible said, the hidden man of the heart. Christ in you. When you dress flashly and flashy and fleshly, what you're doing is you're hiding Christ in you, because you're drawing attention to yourself. And you'd have to agree with me that that is the message of the world's clothing agenda, is to dress in a fashion to draw attention to yourself. I mean, you don't have to be the latest rocket scientist to figure that out. I mean, the world's message is make it as tight as you can get it and make it as small as you can get it. And they're making it awful tough, because as many times as young people pulls on it to get it up and to pull it down and to get it right and to keep it on and all of that, it's a wonder don't tear all to pieces. So they know if they're going to make it that way, they got to have it tough. I want to tell some of them, sometimes they pull on it all the time. I want to tell them, if you'll get something that fits, you won't have to pull on it all the time. Amen. But anyway, what I'm preaching is all in the Bible. It's not my opinion. It's in the Scripture if you'll study it for yourself. But this stumbling, I didn't mean to get off on that, but this stumbling is that unintentional act. Let me just give you this real quickly. That unintentional stumbling. Stumbling is an interruption. Lord gave me that. Stumbling is an interruption. What do you mean it's an interruption? Well, just think. I just got to thinking about when I would stumble, or seeing somebody in my mind's eye stumbling. What would that mean? And this word come to mind. It's an interruption. Boy, stumbling will interrupt. It'll interrupt your pace. It'll interrupt your pace, and then it will interrupt your progress. Oh, these we could be preaching on. But then here's another one. It interrupts your posture. Instead of walking and standing, You're stumbling and falling, and I'm telling you, that posture is, I mean, you can't keep it hid if you stumble. I mean, you can try to make that stumble not look like a stumble, but it's as evident, amen, as if you had orange paint on your head, amen, that you're stumbling. Why? Because it was unintentional. Unintentional. It is an interruption to these things. Stumbling. What's this right here? Are you listening? Stumbling is the stage. Listen, Lord give you stuff if you'll think about it, if you'll meditate on it, and try to see things. Stumbling is the stage where a fall is threatening or close. They have but one point between standing and falling, and that's stumbling. So if you are stumbling and tripping over, and I'll tell you, you can trip over the smallest thing. I mean, it doesn't have to be a big thing in your life. It don't have to be a big offense. It can be a small offense. Somebody not shaking your hand. Somebody not looking at you just right. Amen. How many of you got up at night and stumped your toe on this lightest, smallest thing? What did you do? Did it affect your, it affected your whole body, didn't it? It affected your whole action. No, nobody saw it because you was in the dark, but you probably put on a pretty good show. Amen. And hopefully you didn't say anything that was unbecoming of a Christian. Amen. And woke the house up to blame somebody. But the stumbling, and we ought to be aware of stumbling, and it happens in the dark. Stumbling does not happen in the light. That's what Jesus is saying in John 11. Stumbling does not happen in the light because you can see. Stumbling happens in the night. It's the stage prior to a fall. Stumbling doesn't mean you're going to fall. But fall is threatening. And I don't believe no child of God wants to fall. Somebody better listen to this, I tell you. I don't believe God just give it to me. It's my devotion. I believe God give it to me for us. Stumbling is an action where one is fighting for control. The whole time you're stumbling, you're trying to stop. Come on, you're out of control. You're out of control and you're stumbling and you're trying and you're fighting for control. Boy, I see a lot of people like that. They're fighting for control. They're out of control. They're stumbling and they're tripping over things. But anyway, it's unintentional. It's an interruption. And then it's an indication. What is it an indication of? If you're stumbling, it's an indication of your atmosphere is dark. You're walking in darkness. There's sin, disobedience in your life. Amen, amen. So I'm going to go off of that one. But there in this text, stumbling implies an unintentional act. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and we'll conclude with these thoughts here. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. So the first act of darkness is unintentional, an unintentional act. How many people have gotten in shape spiritually to where they thought, if they would tell you the truth, they'd say, "Preach, I never intended to get here. I never intended to get in this mess. I never intended. Are you listening? We've got people right now that if 6 months ago or less, I would have told them in May of 2010, you are going to be out of church. They would have said, "Preacher, I don't believe a word of that." Because Their testimony was vocal. Their spirituality was somewhat visible. Their church attendance was fairly faithful. And they would have never believed it. Nor would I. But as I stand here today, that very thing is happening. And I am not the least bit joyful over it. In fact, grieved in my heart. You better beware of the unintentional acts of darkness. Like I said, I could preach the whole message on that. But number two, I want to deal in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, help me, Jesus. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4. We'll just deal with them as we come to them. But of the times, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Watch this. That day should overtake you as a thief. So the first act of darkness that you and I ought to be scared of, if we're going to be scared of the dark, and I know it's not manly to be scared of the dark. But I think it's very manly to be scared of spiritual darkness. Amen. Because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. It will handle you. Spiritual darkness will handle you. But the first thing we pointed out was the unintentional act. Verse number 4 associates darkness with a thief. And here, the Lord spoke to my heart of an act that happens in the dark. I call it the unexpected act. There is the unintentional act that brings about stumbling, but there's the unexpected act that brings about stealing. You cannot walk in darkness and live your life in darkness without losing things, or could I put it a better, more strong way? Without things being taken from you. You cannot walk in darkness as a child of God and be a winner. There's in the dark is when thieves operate. Thieves don't operate in the day, or most of them don't. Thieves operate at night. Why? Because darkness discloses their intention. And they don't send an email or a text to the person that they're about to break in on. No. They make their move on the unexpected. So in darkness there is the unintentional, the stumbling. The unexpected deals with the stolen. Boy, I tell you, I hate to be taken advantage of, don't you? Well, that's what a thief will do. That's what a thief will do. Thief will steal from you without permission. Doesn't matter how much it's going to hurt you. The thief does not care what kind of sentimental value that's attached to the item. The thief does not care if you're going to cry. It doesn't matter what it means to you. A thief, my friend, does not care. But a thief is known for stealing. Even the devil himself in John 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. Talking about the devil. And he is the chief of darkness. He is the god of darkness. Are you listening? And so we have the unexpected. Preach, I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. It just, I made a few bad choices, and next thing I know, my life's in shambles, and I've lost this, and I've lost that, and I've lost the other. Darkness will not be your friend. Darkness allows the foe to steal from you. Things that's valuable to you. Things that you would not sell. Things that you would not give away. There'll be, in darkness, a thief that'll steal it. And I believe this. Sometimes if you're walking in darkness and your associations is with those that's in darkness, they will steal from you. There'll be some of your friends take away and steal your joy. There'll be some of your friends and your associates that, I'm talking about people of darkness, and you know they're in darkness. They don't live in obedience to God's Word. They have no desire for church. They're not interested in paths of righteousness. They're not interested in letting their little light shine. They're interested in sin and ungodliness and wickedness. And if you run with that crowd, that very crowd will steal your purity. That very crowd will take away your joy. That very crowd, my friend, will steal things away from you that's valuable. That very crowd can steal your family away from you. That very crowd. I've heard of friends stealing other friends' wife and husband. Boy, that's a real friend, isn't it? No, it's a thief. That's a thief in disguise in your life. And I tell you how you invite those people. Walk in darkness and see if they don't accumulate into your life. Walk in darkness and see if people that other people are in darkness don't, my friend, just start showing up in your life. And let me say this to you, dear friend. You cannot trust those who walk in darkness. They are thieves. Well, amen. So there is the unintentional stumbling. There is the unexpected, the stolen. And then move on down into verse 7, and you have another thing associated with darkness, and it's called sleep. You see it? Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep, we that are saved, let us not do sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. Remember I told you a while ago, you can't watch in the dark. And there it is. There's your proof text. Verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. So we've noticed, number one, the unintentional stumbling. Number two, the unexpected, the stealing in the dark. Number three, there is the unconscious acts. Sleep. Sleep is when you are completely unattached to the real world and you're unconscious to what's going on around you and you're very vulnerable. Very vulnerable. God's people are not of the night as sinners are of the night. We are of the day. But I believe what goes along with darkness, when you make choices to walk in darkness and live in darkness, guess what will come into your life? The spirit of slumber and the spirit of sleep. And the devil wants to get you in an unconscious state spiritually so that there, my friend, in your life, you are you're unattached to realism. You're unattached to what's going on around you. Yep. So there is the unconscious sleep. And then let me close with this one. There is, found also in verse number 7, and they that be drunken are drunken when? In the night. Drunken in the night. And we know what the Bible teaches about drinking and being drunk and drinking and all of that, amen, it is sin. So we have found that they're unintentional stumbling. There's the unexpected stealing. There is the unconscious sleep. And then there's the unholy sin. If you and I choose to walk in darkness and disobedience to God's Word, guess what comes in with darkness? Defilement and sin. You can't make dark choices and walk in the light. Even sinners knows night times when you get when sin is easiest. Some of you already know about this verse. John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Watch this, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, watch this, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So what do we see here? Another statement, another proof text that shows that darkness and defilement goes together. Men love darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They'll not come to the light. Why? Because their deeds will be reproved. That's why the preaching to this book, my friend, some people can't handle it. Now, I'm not talking about harsh preaching. I'm not talking about preaching in a bad attitude. I'm talking about just straight Bible light preaching. They don't want it. They don't like it. Why? Because it turns the light on how they're living. Just like an old cockroach, amen, and them old stinking spiders at night. You turn the light, you don't see them during the day. But at night, they come out and hang everywhere, crawl everywhere. Why? They know that's the time to move. Are you listening? I'm talking about, friend, we better not think lightly about darkness in our life. We better not look at it as something friendly. We ought to be scared of the dark. We just probably just go ahead and need to title this message, just scared of the dark because of the unintentional that happens in darkness. The unexpected that happens in darkness. Amen. The unconscious things that happens in darkness or happens to us in darkness. See, it's not just me, if I make choices of darkness, it's not just what I do, but it's what can be done to me, such as illustrated with the thief. And then there is the unholy. The best thing you can do to avoid ruining your life with sin is get as deep into the light as possible. Walk in the light 24/7. Make choices in that direction. Amen. Set your sails and direction your rudder of your ship, of your life, in the direction of light. I think that's excellent advice. Someone said about the eagle that when it's prey gets after the eagle, that those hawks and those different things that can catch eagles. They said an eagle has a set of built-in sunglasses or sun lenses, and said those eagles, Brother Gene, to lose their prey, will flip them things over their eyes and turn and fly straight toward the sun. And the enemy loses sight of them because of the brightness of the sun. The worst thing that eagle could do would be to turn away from light. It'd about be certain death to turn away from light. Are you listening? God help us. These things the Lord spoke in my heart about actions in the dark, scared of the dark, things that will happen or threaten to happen in your life if you fool around with darkness. It'll bust. I'm telling you, it'll destroy young people. It'll destroy churches. It'll destroy homes. It'll destroy our country, and it's doing a big job on it now. Darkness. We're in a day, dear friend, and you know it well, that light is almost illegal and darkness is condoned and legalized and approved. Amen. The more wicked you are, the more accepted you are. The more you fit in. But the more of God's light that you're walking in, guess what? you're going to be the oddball. Are you listening? Hate the dark. Don't love it. Hate it. There's nothing good happens in it. There's nothing good for a child of God comes out of darkness. None of it. Nothing. We're children of the day. We're children of the night. And I tell you how much Jesus hates darkness. We're going to heaven, and the Bible plainly says in Revelations that there'll be no night there. We are headed into an eternal day. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll take the simple thoughts that you shared with my heart and speak to us through it and with it, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Dear Lord, I don't know in this building tonight, Lord, who the message may have been for. There may be somebody here tonight that's on the verge or on the brink of stumbling. Stumbling, unintentional. They don't see it coming because it's dark and they don't perceive danger. They don't perceive the wolf. They don't perceive the threatening enemy. They're not scared of the dark. They think they can handle it. They think it won't happen to them. They see what darkness has done to other people, other places, other churches, other homes, other young people. They see what darkness has done there, but yet they think they can handle it. So, Lord, I'm asking you now to drive home this message that we, including me, please, dear Lord, may I include myself in this, that, dear God, I'd be scared of the dark. Because I know preachers that have stumbled and have ultimately failed. And dear Lord, I know that if it could happen to them, I know that it can happen to me. Lord, I know preachers' homes that I thought once was stable and solid are now busted up. And it's all because of darkness creeping into one or both. Lord, young people that once had a testimony for the Lord in the house of God no longer have that testimony as they flirted around with darkness and fooled around with darkness and desired to have a boyfriend, a girlfriend out of darkness, that lived in darkness, that walked in darkness. Lord, I believe, as you stated it clearly, that what fellowship hath light with darkness. I can't see where a person walking in the light would even pursue someone walking in darkness and living in darkness, dear Father, for a mate or even as a friend. Lord, I pray you'll take the message and put the fear of God in our hearts with it. Speak to us with it. Because certainly, Lord, the unintentional and the unexpected and the unconscious and, oh Lord, the unholy, God forbid, the unholy. Lord, there's people in this room, and as well as me, Lord, I would say, Lord, by the grace of God, I'd never do this or I'd never do that. But if I flirt with darkness, fool around with darkness and begin to walk in darkness and begin to live in darkness, dear Father, the inevitable is going to take place, and that is that the unholy is going to come into my life. Lord, I wouldn't even be interested. I wouldn't even have any measure of tolerance toward darkness if I am where I need to be concerning the light. Lord, I believe you sent the message tonight. Somebody is in danger of the dangers of darkness, and they're not scared of the dark. They think they can handle it. Please help them, Jesus. Please help me, Lord. I need prayer. I need you to help me. And Lord, what I've preached tonight, Lord, you have been preaching to me for probably a couple of weeks. Speak to us now, I pray. in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.